Started here, the hour of 12 noon is come. The House Executive Committee will come to order. We have five members present for this hearing. Give a little brief. The Executive Committee over the years and historically has handled many pieces of legislation, especially when they cross over various lines of, like we are here for the redistricting of the Chicago Public Schools that deal with education, deal with elections. And so the House Executive Committee is hosting these hearings throughout the city as we prepare for the redistricting of the Chicago Public Schools. I'm Bob Breda, Chairman of the Executive Committee, and Speaker Welch has put together a working group from all members that have, their districts are solely within the city of Chicago. And so the working group on the Democratic side will be working on this issue in conducting this hearing through the Executive Committee. I would note we have Representative Brad Stevens, who's representing the minority party, the Republican Party at the Executive Committee here, is present along with members of the working group. So that's why I'll give you a little brief explanation why the Executive Committee is hosting this public forum or subject matter hearing per se. At this time, Speaker Welch, as I said, from the Democratic side, put the working group together. He's named Ann Williams, Representative Ann Williams, as the chair. I guess before I turn it over to Ann, we're in the 25th District, Representative Tarver. So thanks for allowing us or setting this up and for the South Side of Chicago hearing. But so the chair of the working group for the House, Representative Ann Williams, will now conduct the subject matter hearing.
Thank you so much, Leader Rita, and welcome everyone to the hearing today. We're really glad to see you, and it's great to be here in person. Of course, what we're doing here today has been a long time coming. I recognize many of you from working on this issue really for about a decade. So we're here to really get input from the community that gives residents and communities a voice in the future of our public schools. And districts, of course, should reflect Chicago's very unique and diverse communities. And so looking just a little bit back, historically, in 2021, the General Assembly passed and Governor Pritzker signed House Bill 2908, which created an elected representative school board for CPS. Since 1995, the entire school board has been appointed by the mayor of Chicago, so making it the only public school board in Illinois that was not popularly elected. Before I go into kind of how we're going to proceed with the map making, I wanted to introduce members of the working group that are here today and ask everyone to say a few words of introduction. In addition to Leader Stevens, who represents the minority party, we have Curtis Tarver, and we are lucky enough to be in your district today, who is on the working group, as well as Leader Aaron Ortiz here today, if you'd like to say a few words of welcome.
Thank you. First and foremost, thank you to Principal Calloway, who, upon very short notice, as soon as we asked him, opened up the school for this important hearing. So thank you very much. I certainly appreciate that, and thank you for helping us to get people here as well. We're here to hear from you, so I'm going to pass the microphone and jot down some notes. But thank you all for coming out. Certainly appreciate it.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Aaron Ortiz. I'm the state representative of the 1st District. Cover the neighborhoods, bridge from basically White Sox Park to Midway Airport. So I'm happy to be here today, but as a former educator at Back of the Yards College Prep High School and a former local school council member, it's just an honor to be here with you all today. And just to, again, like my colleague said, to hear from you all, and we just want to get a better understanding of your community, of the communities on the South Side, and how these, you know, maps should reflect. So thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, and good morning. My district is the 20th district. I represent the northwest side of the city of Chicago and part of the suburbs as well. I'm here as the minority leader on this side of the aisle and anxious to work with the group here, so thank you.
Okay, and I represent the 11th district on the north side of Chicago and have been working on issues relating to neighborhood schools for some time, so I'm thrilled to be working with all of you to produce the most impactful and equitable map for our elected school board. In terms of kind of how it's going to look, most of you probably know this information, but under the law, in November of 24, in the general election, 10 members will be elected from 10 geographic districts to four-year terms. These members will serve along with 11 appointed members who will be appointed by the mayor until November of 2026, when the number of districts will be increased to 20 and an election will be held for the 10 new districts without incumbents. So it's kind of like a phase in. So by 2027, we will have a fully elected 21-member school board. I did want to thank Speaker Welsh for putting together this group of diverse and talented individuals to work on this map and giving us the opportunity to be here with you in person today. So throughout the process, we will be guided by traditional processes and procedures that work when anytime you're drawing a legislative map, anytime you're redistricting. So these are things like equal populations. So the districts will be drawn to approximately have the same number of people in keeping with the basic principle of one person, one vote. Federal and state law also require that all districts are contiguous, which means that all parts of a district must be next to each other. So another harder to define requirement for drawing districts is that the districts are compact. So there are at least 30 different scientific ways to measure compactness in the process of redistricting, but no statute or court case particularly identifies one standard criteria. So that's what we're going to be working on as we shape these maps with your input. So we will be guided by state and federal law, of course, regarding minority representation, which is key as we work to strive for a very equitable map. So the principles of the Federal Voting Rights Act and the Illinois Voting Rights Act will be in place to prevent the reduction of opportunities for minority populations to participate equally in the process. However, districts cannot be drawn solely on the basis of race, but the issue can be incorporated. Through population data and public input, including hearings like today's, we will also look to identify what is called communities of interest. And that term means a group of people concentrated in a specific geographic area where socially, culturally, ethnically, economically, religiously, or otherwise have a common ground or similar and can be joined in a district to most effectively ensure that their voices are heard. So the factors that are incorporated into a community of interest, of course, varies, and that's another thing we're looking to hear from you all. So I want to thank everyone that signed up to participate today and really excited to hear the insights that you're prepared to offer. We've also been collecting and will continue to collect written input and having a few more hearings. I think we have 1 month. The next one is Monday, May 1st at 6 p.m. at Lane Tech High School off Western Avenue. So at that point, we'll continue to get input from the community, but you can also share your thoughts via writing if you email redistrictingcommittee@hds.ilga.gov, and of course we can share that again later. And all comments that you submit are going to become part of the official record. So with that, I think we will go off the list of people that signed up to speak today. And if anyone else would like to speak and you're not on the list, you can see our fabulous staff here, and he will take your name down and give it to us. So I'm just going to go in the order you signed up, if that's okay. And you can step up, get a microphone, and just share your thoughts. We first have Yolanda Williams. There's Yolanda.
Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Yolanda Williams. I would like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. I'm a resident of the Austin community in Don Harmon's district. I'm the parent of a diverse learner who is currently a sophomore at Michelle Clark High School. I have served on PACs and LSEs for numerous years. I am currently on the ODLSS Family Advisory Board, the Culture of Early Learning for COFE Power PAC, and was appointed to sit on the Office of the Governor's Early Learning Council in 2021. I am here today representing the Kids First Chicago Elected School Board Task Force. My daughter Kayla has been in the Cluster Special Education Program since preschool. I know the challenges of diverse learners face, especially those like Katie who live and attend high school in a community like Austin. I believe that diverse learners should be thought of first, the same way we might give up our seats for the elderly on the bus. We should be trying to take care of the diverse learners first. My experience at CPS has often been the opposite of that. Prior to COVID, the special education class in her elementary school was the last group in the whole school to get laptops. Meanwhile, schools in more affluent neighborhoods are better resourced and their students have greater access to resources at home. That's why we need to have people in important roles at CPS who prioritize supporting students like Kayla. I think it's important that we have board members who understand the needs of diverse learners in school. But it's especially critical that they understand the unique challenges that black and brown diverse learners face outside of school. I believe a school board that reflects CPS's diversity can better understand the needs of children in our communities and will deliver better results for our students. The Kids First Chicago Elected School Board Task Force submitted a set of district maps to this committee to serve as an example that you can account for the racial makeup of CPS students and families while creating these districts and still abide by legal requirements of maintaining compact districts. We encourage committee members to look at this example before beginning to draw your own district maps. We hosted a town hall event on the topic last Wednesday, well, 2 Wednesdays ago, and had over 300 attendees. When asked about their ideal makeup of the school board, parents prefer a board that aligns with CPS demographics over Chicago demographics, 5-1 margin. If this committee respects these wishes, then we believe that CPS families will be better represented and served by the future elected school board, leading to better outcomes for all of our CPS students.
Thank you, Ms. Williams, and we are in receipt of the materials from Kids First, so thank you for that. Does anyone have questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Next up, we have Ramona Burris.
Good afternoon. Thank you for hosting this forum for the community members and organizations and parents like myself to speak. My name is Ramona Burris. I am a parent of 3 Chicago Public School students, one that's matriculated to that are coming out this year. I myself am an alum of Chicago Public Schools of this illustrious Kenwood Academy that we are sitting within today. I currently serve on a local school council as chair to support our Principal Calloway and the efforts that she's doing to make sure that we have some parity when it comes to resources for the school. So as we look at this new model of how we're going to have an elected school board, as we look at the process of mapping, I want us to take an honest assessment of how that should go. We know that many data sets that we look at are flawed, whether it's population data, whether it's socioeconomic data, but I want us to put conscious effort into making sure that we look at different sources of data when we take those lines and start to draw them. Our principal here, she works tirelessly and unnecessarily so to make sure that her students have basic resources, like you said, for diverse learners. Kenwood is a neighborhood school, but we are a level grade 8 plus school, and that's not by accident, and that's by fighting. And at some point, we need to be able to stop fighting so that she and her team can focus on the pedagogy and the children that they're supposed to. We still have unresolved issues with facilities and just having basic things like air conditioning. We have 2 buildings. We were pushing for a connection between the 2 buildings for safety as students trans transport back and forth between two buildings, or even just to stay out of inclement weather. These are conversations that have been going on for like 5 years now. Again, so today, as I speak as a parent, as an alum, as a local school council member, I want us again to make conscious effort that all the processes for elections are fair and balanced. This is an opportunity for parents to be part of this decision-making process, to have a seat at the table. And unfortunately, we know the history of politics here in Chicago, and I fear that the campaign process may inherently exclude some parents from having a seat at the table and having their voice heard. So if we can put some extra considerations into that, I know there have been discussions about compensation, because this will be a job, and there will be some hard decisions that need to be made. This will be time-consuming. So if we can make sure that that comes into play. But again, I'm more concerned about the mapping because I do not, that's gonna be core and essential to where the resources are allocated. And if this current model that we're sitting in right now is not working and we have the opportunity to build something new, I don't want us to keep having the same conversations 2 years from now because we didn't make the right input on some of these decisions right now. So thank you.
Thank you for that. Members with comments, questions? Sure. Okay. Thank you for that. Next up we have Brenda Delgado.
Thank you, committee members. I'm Brenda Delgado, and I'm a Kenwood Bronco parent. I'm also a resident of Chicago, which is equally vested in public education regardless of where my kid goes to school. I wanted to share just some of thoughts and some history of where we are today. This didn't just happen in the last couple election seasons. We've been fighting for an elected representative school board since my Kenwood Bronco sophomore was not even in preschool. This has been a 15-year plus fight that we've been going to your offices, making visits to Springfield, and begging for representation so that we can have not just transparency, but accountability. This is really a transformative moment that we can make sure that we can give every single child in Chicago a well-resourced public education. We've been robbing Peter to pay Paul for too many years, and we need to have 20 districts that represent every single invested family in CPS. We know that the majority of people in CPS are black and brown students. So we need to prioritize those distinct needs and those different needs of people who are in CPS. We know because we didn't have transparency and accountability, someone made pure budgetary decisions without knowing what impact those decisions, maybe knowing, lack of respect for knowing what those decisions were when they close 50 schools, when they don't fund schools equitably, when they installed the funding formula for kids. Those decisions are sometimes made by people who don't know the names of the people who are now without a school neighborhood home in their neighborhood. And that's what we want on the representative school board. We want representatives who know their schools, know their communities, are going to be held accountable for their decisions, and really understand the challenges that we're going to have to make as an elected representative school board, as a true body of, they're going to be elected. This is really a transformative moment, and I want to just make sure that we know we've been fighting this for 15 years. This isn't just a conversation that we're thinking about just in these last couple months. I also want to make sure that we recognize the people who are going to be serving on this elected representative school board hopefully can also incorporate low-income parents. Low-income parents have many challenges, not just on their time, but of their money, and a salary or stipend really opens the opportunity for them to think that they can participate and be engaged and have their voices heard. Also, the size of the districts. If we don't have 20 districts, then it means, think about the Cook County budget, who has 17 commissioners and are responsible for a similar budget in size to CPS. 17 people participate in that budget process. Why can't we have 20 districts representing the similar size and budget for CPS? With only 10 districts, we're going to be representing more than 250,000 residents per district. That's more than a state senator district. So why don't we have the equal representation when we think of representation for state senator districts for this elected school board? Finally, I want to make sure that the 20 districts allow individuals to run a campaign. They're going to be elected. That means they need to run a campaign. That means they need to be incurring cost to run a campaign, and that it's not a funnel from billionaire-funded entities that support private education and give talking points to their volunteers and say for them to be their stand-in for what they really want to do is privatize public education. It's not going to be cheap to give a well-resourced public education to every kid in Chicago, regardless of zip code. It's not going to be easy, but we want individuals who are representative to make those decisions. And lastly, we've seen what lack of accountability has meant for our most vulnerable students. We also know that when we've had appointed school board members, they've been kicked off the board because they didn't give the right type of answer that the mayor, which controlled them, wanted to. Think about the last couple members that have been on the board, and we're trying to be accountable, and where they are today, they're not on the board. So we want people who can stand up and participate. This is really a transformative moment, and please respect the long road that we've been fighting for to get to this real moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Delgado. I just will comment that literally, I've been in a little over 10 years, and literally every public meeting I've ever had, town hall, the elected school board came up. So it has been a long fight, long fought battle.
Actually, I will say it's good to hear from folks in the community about this compensation piece. That was a very significant thing in Springfield. I think I was in the heavy minority on the House floor saying that we need to compensate individuals because it is a tall task. So it's good to hear from community members saying that as well, because it makes it easy to go back to Springfield and at least push for that. But there was no real appetite initially to compensate. And the rationale to me was kind of silly, was that no other boards are compensated, but no other boards are the size and the scale of CPS. So I do appreciate both of you mentioning that.
Okay, next up, Cassie Criswell.
Hello, I'm Cassie Criswell. I'm director of Illinois Families for Public Schools and a Chicago Public Schools parent and a Hyde Park resident. Thanks so much, Chair Williams and the committee and the working group for holding hearings on this topic. The legislation that created the elected representative school board for Chicago was the work of essentially a generation of community organizing against those mostly exceedingly wealthy individuals in the business community who oppose self-determination and self-governance for the public schools of our city. This really has been a long fight. My junior in high school went with me to knock doors and get signatures so we could get a referendum on the ballot when she was a kindergartner. An elected representative school board was extremely popular with Chicago voters when it was on the ballot in that referendum in 2012 and in 2015. A strong, well-resourced public school system benefits all Chicagoans, whether we have school-aged children or not, because public schools are a foundational element in a thriving, pluralistic democracy. Illinois Families for Public Schools is strongly in favor of the structure of the school board as it stands currently in the statute with 21 members, 20 of those elected from districts. The size of the board was discussed and negotiated extensively over many years and multiple general assemblies. More districts means smaller districts, which makes campaigns less expensive and more accessible to grassroots candidates. Given the racial, ethnic, and class segregation in the city and the composition of the electorate, smaller districts also mean a board that is more representative of the city and the school district's student body demographics. And smaller districts means board members who are going to be more accessible to their constituents, including public school families. Dividing the city into 20 districts means one elected member represents around 130,000 constituents, and for some additional relevant comparisons, the other school boards in Illinois almost don't have 7 members, but 90% of those school boards districts are very small, that have fewer than 4,500 students. That's less than just the largest single CBS high school, Lane Tech. Elgin, U46 is the second largest district in the state. There are 160,000 registered voters in that district. 35,000 students. That's about a tenth of the size of Chicago. It has a 7-member elected board. About half of our property taxes in Chicago are going to be controlled by the elected board of education. We have 50 aldermen and a mayor to levy and allocate the portion that goes to the city. And finally, Cook County Board has 17 members and a president. And I think it was previously mentioned that the operating budget is similar to that of CPS. So a board with fewer than 20 elected districts is just not going to be sufficient to serve our city's needs and our school district's needs. And lastly, I have a couple things that are not strictly about the mapping. One, local school councils, though they're not a substitute for an elected representative school board at the district level, they are a crucial governance structure in their own right, and they need and deserve the support to fulfill their original vision of them when they were created 35 years ago. Increasing involvement in LSC elections and operations is a way to strengthen individual schools and the district as a whole during this governance transition time to an elected board. There's been some helpful legislation to strengthen LSCs in recent years, and the General Assembly should really continue this work as we transition to an elected board. Board member compensation, I think that those size stats that I just gave really, you know, support what Representative Tarver was saying as well. This job is a big job, and you're representing a lot of people. So we really urge the General Assembly to pass legislation to pay board members. You're responsible for levying and spending billions of dollars on revenue as a school board member, for educating hundreds of thousands of Chicago children, and for representing 130,000 constituents, including students, families, teachers, taxpayers, and voters. Making this an unpaid position really limits who can serve. And you know, there's been ideas that, oh, we have to have fewer board members if we're gonna compensate them. You know, the addition of paying 21 board members in a district of 40,000 employees, I think, is very minimal, and it's really a spurious argument for decreasing board size. If we look around the country, several states actually pay all board members, even in smaller districts. Finally, campaign financing. We urge the General Assembly to address the cost of elections by creating some mechanism for public financing of campaigns. This exists around the country in various jurisdictions and in various forms. There's been hand-wringing for this entire time that we fought about an elected board, about how expensive elections will be, and it's really time to tackle this problem. There's plenty of precedents out there to draw on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Cresswell. Okay. I do think you made an interesting point about the size of the boards. I didn't hear exactly what numbers you said, but I think it's under 10 districts, it's 240,000 people. And you're representing 120,000 once we ultimately get to 20, so that's bigger than a state rep district. Our districts are 108,000 people, so it's significant. Next up, we have Dwayne Truss. Mr. Truss.
Good afternoon. Thank you, State Representative Williams and other House members, for being here. Scheduling this meeting, and thank you, Principal Calloway, for opening up your doors. I would also like to actually consider a future hearing on why the Bears did not choose Jalen Carter in the first round when he was there. But that's another story, another hearing. My name is Dwayne Truss, former Board of Education member and former trustee of the Chicago Teacher Pension Fund. I guess you can call me Exhibit A as to why we should have an elected school board. And it's just echoing some of the things that my friends and colleagues stated about the fact that you want to have a representative that's going to stand up for the communities, even though that we may not always agree, but even you as legislators, you figured out a way to agree to disagree without being disagreeable and move on with the business of the people of Illinois. And again, I just want to just call out my fellow education advocates. I graduated 5 sons out of Chicago Public Schools, 4 of them got college degrees. I'm currently a of 11 grandchildren, 6 who are in Chicago. I'm proud of having been a grandfather of 11 grandkids. Just don't like when the grandparents or the parents call upon me to babysit. But I'm also here advocating for the map that was presented by the Illinois African Americans for Fair and Equitable Representation. I wanted to say on the issue of compensation, which, you know, I'm going to divert a little bit because the comments made by my friend, Ms. Delgado, is that, yes, it was a pleasure to serve on the board. I loved it, gave it my all, but it does require sacrifice. Like, you know, my wife, you know, she hadn't seen a vacation in like so many years because I had to use my vacation days to, you know, participate in meetings, just not CPS meetings, but pension board meetings. And also I took days off just to travel throughout the city of Chicago because I like to remind people, when you make a vote, even at the state legislature, you may represent a district, but your vote impacts the entire state of Illinois. And I just made it my self-appointed duty, I guess, to make sure I wanted to get all perspectives, whether they agreed or disagreed, because the bottom line is that it was going to impact our children and our family, and we wanted to make the best decision possible. And that's how me and my colleagues looked at it. So I was fortunate enough to be able to do that, take those days off. But there's going to be some families that's not going to have that accurate vacation time or that reasonable boss or supervisor. So it just, as you say, State Representative Carver, is something that's really got to be strongly looked at. Just because other cities and districts don't have compensated school boards doesn't mean Chicago can't have a compensated school board. I mean, that's them. This is the city of Chicago. You have working parents here. And I just ask you to please consider that. That's why I like to talk about the script, because I usually lose my thoughts. But I also want to push back on the fact that those that talked about the number C should be reduced, please disregard that. Because, you know, it is truly going to be a transformative type of situation. And, you know, it's like it's new, and people should just go ahead and just be patient. There's going to be a learning curve, just like if you were to go to the moon and back, that's going to be a learning curve. And that's okay. It's just as long, one thing I will say is that as long as we have strong staff members at the board offices who will, you know, keep us on task, then you have great resources in the Illinois Association of School Boards who really work with you, train to you as what a school board member is supposed to do. Because in a sense, it's not like what people think it is. Just as sometimes we speculate on what you all do in Springfield, we're not there every day. And we just have to be educated on that process. And also ask that when the maps are released, that there be time for public hearings and comment afterwards. So that way, that's not just a map released and then it's like, hey guys, this is it, our legislative schedule is in, I think it ends at the end of May. And so that's not a lot of time, but we ask that you please present a map with ample amount of time for feedback. And again, I just like, it was great, awesome seeing some of my friends and seeing new friends, and thank everybody for just sacrificing your Saturday. And thank you all again for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Trust. I appreciate your input. Do members have comments, questions? Okay, next up we have Katie Gruber. And a reminder to hold the microphone pretty close to your while you're talking so we can hear you.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for holding this hearing. My name is Katie Gruber. I'm a current CPS parent. Both my children are at Kenwood right now, and I was active at Ray on the PTO and as an LSC member. Just a couple points to echo what earlier speakers said. I fully agree that the board members should be compensated. I mean, it's a very serious job. We want people giving up their dinner time hours to go to LSC meetings and to be in touch, and you know that people are gonna need to be paid if we're gonna have truly representative parents and people in these roles. Second, I really agree with the first speaker that this is a chance to do the right thing. And if we lead with our diverse learners, the whole train is gonna be going in the right direction. So if you look at these maps and you look at where the schools are located and the diverse learners that they serve, the programs at the schools, and that's part of how you draw the maps, so that you've got schools that are helping to meet these challenges, like evenly distributed across the district, so that you know they're not just like all in one section or reduced impact, then I really think the board members are going to be making better decisions for the district as a whole. And lastly, what's my point? Looking at the programs, the funding and Brenda's point, that, you know, we're not starting off on a fresh landscape. You know, CPS has been through so much. People have been fighting for scraps. You know, the way CPS has raided our schools has just been so challenging for so many schools for so long, that just be really aware that, you know, it's a chance to turn the ship around in many ways. And where schools are right now doesn't reflect, for many of them, doesn't reflect where they could be. Thanks.
Thank you so much for your comments. Nothing, okay, nothing from members. Next up, I see Deb Haas.
Thank you for undertaking this important task. I'm Deb Haas. I'm here as an individual who's been part of the effort to secure a fully elected representative school board for Chicago for years, and as part of many organizations, and have participated from many vantage points. In fact, you know, since this fight began, my children were young, and attended the Academic Center. I became a volunteer at Kenwood. And they've graduated from CPS high schools, and they've graduated from college. I currently serve as a community representative on the Ray Elementary School LSC. And I also, like all but families without housing, all of us who own a home or rent pay property tax in one form or another, and I'm a voter here. I'm a registered voter, and I'm thrilled that I'm going to have a chance to vote for the people who will make decisions for our schools and about our property taxes. And also to support the foundations of democracy, right? One of the key foundations is public education. And to have had that been unelected for so long is tragic. We worked long and hard to get the elected part going, and now we have to ensure that it's representative. I have some of the same talking points that other people here have as I did some research. I want you to understand that the groups that supported the elected representative school board legislation worked long and hard, at hours and hours of meetings and coming to Springfield and talking to folks, talking to parents and community reps about what they wanted to see, looking at models across the country and listening to Chicago residents, especially parents, about what's important to them. So the number of 20 districts was thoughtfully and intentionally part of the legislation. And you know, that point has been made, but I came today just because I've been hearing some talk about reducing it from other folks, and I wanted to make sure that you heard from your constituents who care a lot that we maintain that number that many people thought long and hard about. It's critical for a taxing body that controls about half of our property taxes in Chicago to be representative. And you know, I think someone raised the point about aldermen, that we have 50 aldermen and a mayor to manage the other half. It seems like 20 to manage the half that goes to schools is a reasonable number, maybe not even enough. We want, as others said, for them to be representative of the folks who are in CPS, demographically, based on student needs, and to reflect the neighborhoods that Chicago public schools come from. I understand the reasons that everyone has for why we should be compensating school board members, and to help with campaign finance. We want people who, we want to ensure that there's equity of opportunity to serve, and that parents and community members across our cities will, across the city, will all have a chance to consider a candidacy, regardless of their personal resources. You know, it's a civic duty, and I think we have to be really creative as we work on this around compensation. There are tons of models. When we serve jury duty, we get some compensation. We're also not penalized by our employers. And I would like to see second shift workers, if we're gonna have evening school meetings, second shift workers not have to worry about whether or not they can serve. You know, people should not have to be concerned about not being able to resource their families while participating in our democracy. Thank you. I think that that's enough echoing of what folks have said and hopefully adding a little bit.
Thank you. Okay, we have two more people listed to speak, unless anyone else has added their name to the list. Next, I see Lauren Taylor.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. And sincerely, I also want to give my name is Lauren Taylor, South Shore resident, not a parent of a CPS student. And really, I want to give my sincere thanks to the people I've heard here who have invested the time that you've invested in, you know, seeing this elected school board, you know, come to pass. And also, you know, what I've learned, you know, here today listening to you, really, thanks. Wasn't aware of this idea of, you know, compensated school boards. Not sure how I feel about that, but I really look forward to hearing more about that. I do want to echo the sentiment that Dwayne, is it, or that he expressed about releasing the maps in time that, you know, you can get public feedback on that. You know, thank you for raising that. I guess what I wanted to raise with you today, as I say, happy as everyone here to see this elected school board, but I am concerned that in the current political climate that we have, quite a few of these processes, or a lot of these processes involved with this, are vulnerable, you could say, to people who may use this issue or use the issues of what's going on in the school board to advance other agendas. And that you are mindful of any, in a sense, safeguards that can be put to try to minimize those. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of all the ones that, you know, may be apparent. I do think this idea of how this district thing is going to be phased in, I guess in two phases, that, you know, that opens up, I think, also a big possibility that this process can be vulnerable, you know, to this type of manipulation. What I will echo that seems to have already been raised here is the idea of campaign financing associated with the school boards. And I am of the mind, and I would endorse whatever it is that you would do in a sense that would make this process more, you could say, strict, or the oversight, I guess that's the best way I could say it. The oversight or the boundaries or the guidelines involved with campaign financing around school boards should be a lot more strict than even what you as legislators have to face. And, you know, I think I would give my full support to any process that does that. I mean, I may be a bit, in a sense, almost even extreme in the way I would look at it, but I would just say, if you can't vote for the person, you shouldn't be able to donate to what they do. That's just my general feeling. It's just an overall guideline when it came to campaign financing for school boards. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Okay, we have next up Natasha Dunn.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for hosting this event. And again, I would urge you to next time get this information out earlier and make it more accessible for people in the community to be able to participate. Again, my name is Natasha Dunn, and I am the co-founder of the Black Community Collaborative. I'm also a Chicago Public School alumni. I went to Hyde Park High School, and I'm sitting at Kenwood, so that's so fun. if you know, you know. And my daughter, who's sitting here with me, she is in eighth grade at Harriet Tubman Elementary School. I'm also a South Shore resident. And the reason why I say these things is because I travel past three elementary schools to take her to school in the Lincoln Park, Lakeview area. She's one of three. I have twins that are 21 that graduated also from CPS. We've sort of been in and out of CPS. I've not had a great experience in CPS, which is why I pulled my children out. I put them in an African center private school so that they could be able to get the support, love, encouragement, and be taught based on their gifts and not on a stereotype, which is what I find to happen in some CPS schools. But with that being said, the journey as a Black parent in Chicago Public Schools is very interesting because we have some of the roughest schools and some of the most beautiful students that are within those schools. Black children are gifted, every last one of them, I believe. However, the way the system is set up, it will make you believe that our kids are not able to succeed, which is one of the reasons why I'm very, very, active in pursuing education for all Black children, because my children shouldn't be the only, children who have the access to be able to travel across the city. In fact, I don't want to travel anymore. I want to be able to walk outside my house and go to the neighborhood public school. I want her to be able to go to the neighborhood high school, but she has to now go to somewhere else, for high school because the schools in our community are not equitably set up. With that being said, I'm also here representing the African Americans for Equitable Redistricting. They submitted a map, or we all submitted a map to you guys earlier on, and I hope that you guys use that map. It's a 10-district map. We don't have the resources to be able to create a 20-district map. We would love to work with our state representatives in doing that. I'm a little discouraged in the fact that that didn't happen, but we are open to, whatever. But we're looking for a map that's going to actually provide us the resources and the opportunity, to be able to be on this board. And as a member of the collaborative, what we do is we examine structural racism impacting our communities, and we use data as a springboard in order to communicate with integrity and transparency. We step forward to dismantle norms that have led to Black flight and insecurity in the city. CPS serves over 300,000 students, 36% of which are Black. We are very concerned, as I stated earlier, about the quality of education that Chicago Public Schools is providing to our children. Before the pandemic, the black community was struggling with the epidemic of unchecked violence, school closures, and an achievement gap that has yet to be addressed. According to the State of Illinois Board of Education, Black students are the furthest behind of any racial group in reading and math outcomes, and of course the pandemic has exacerbated that. Public school buildings are a vital asset to our community, and we believe that they should serve as a hub and a learning for a refuge for most vulnerable population. To create racial equity, we must close this gap and be intentional about it, not just talk about it, because we always talk about racial equity and we want to close gaps, but we have to be very intentional and specific in doing that. And we want to ensure that schools are not just fully staffed, but they're staffed with people who really understand our community and our cultural needs of our children and are vested and believe that Black children are gifted as I do. Therefore, it is vital that our community have representation on this board, and this map cannot exacerbate the structural racism that we already have. And we do understand that that's a possibility that they could do that, and I don't think it's going to be intentional, but unintentional structural racism happens all the time, and we're just here to make sure that doesn't happen. And so to that end, I am requesting, along with our group, that there's a standing committee created within the school board to address the achievement gap for Black students, because it's time to be intentional. And I think this will be a very good way to make sure that that happens. And we're not talking about just a regular committee. We want one that two members of the board will participate on this committee, and also community members will have an opportunity, people who are on the LSC, business leaders in the African American community, along with parents, to be able to have access to be able to talk about and create solutions to closing these gaps. I also believe that a 20-district or 21-district map is, I think that's a fair representation. We do need that. And also, it's most important that the people who are on this board get compensated. I mean, CPS is a huge, you know, district that we have. It's a lot of stuff to tackle. And it's not fair to have people just volunteer, because we want to make sure the people who are on this board are actually able to do their jobs and do it right, so that we can have a great opportunity to improve our schools. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Just quickly in response, and I'm not challenging you at all, I'm clear about that, but you mentioned South Shore, so there's three state reps over that way, one of whom is me. But one thing to be very clear about is we can take your maps, you can contact our office, and we can submit them as far as input, but legally we can't work with you on the map. So I know you express that as a frustration, but I think that's actually a protection. The last thing you want, I think, is someone sitting alongside your drawn maps might be beneficial for them, right? And so I will offer my office, you can submit whatever you like, and I'm happy to talk to you about it. But I just want to be clear for the record, for others to know as well, we can't work on the map with you. So I just want to say that.
I'm sorry, I just want to clarify that. So I think for me and the rest of our community, it wasn't necessarily just the working on the map. Of course, we wouldn't want that to happen. We would want a map that represents us. I think it's just creating that space and just really communicating about the mapping process. You know, like, so when we elect our elected officials, we're expecting them to come back and sort of do town halls, explaining to us what's happening in Springfield. And a lot of us in our community, and based on some of the research that I've done and speaking to residents across my South Shore and other areas, they're not aware. They have no idea about this. Elected school board. They don't even understand this 21 district. They don't know anything about the mapping, you know, and so we have to have this heavy lift to, without resources, to be able to now, you know, spread that out to explain this to people. And so it just would be great to be able to have those opportunities where our representatives could have just had some kind of town halls reflecting that.
Okay, thank you for that. Next up we have Rosita Shatunda.
Good afternoon. I just got in here. I went to like about 8 or 9 doors before I could get in. And that's kind of funny because I was the Booster Band Club president here for, it seemed like, half of my life. I have 4 children that graduated from Kenwood. I see some of the staff here and did a beautiful job. I would like to say that my children had such a great experience at Kenwood. And my daughters and son went on to college, and one of them even came back. The people told them, you did so well, you should be at Harvard or Yale. So Ken Wood did a great job. I am a product of Catholic school, and my experience with the public school was new as I came in as a parent. And coming in as a parent, raising 3 boys and a daughter, and then later becoming a single parent, I needed the support of a school district that would help and not hurt my children. I can say in some instances for my sons, I didn't get that as much as an elementary school parent. My sons went to the lab school and transferred over to Ray, which we didn't have a great experience there, but we did get supported. But I'm here today to talk about why I got into this situation or involvement. I was just a regular little teacher. I came into CPS through the Teachers for Chicago program, which you might be familiar with, and raising my children as I taught school. I had a wonderful experience. I worked in some of the most at-risk communities, had great experiences with my students, until there was an incident that I unfortunately got involved in, which was kind of a whistleblower, and then I became a target. So from that becoming a target, I realized that there were other educators that had become targets, and I formed my organization CAUSE, Coalition and Alliance of Urban School Educators, to push back in many ways on some of our educators that had been disenfranchised by CPS and CTU. I did a short stint with the Chicago Teachers Union, working as the first Southside organizer. I organized Karen Lewis's campaign on the South Side. And as we moved on, we started to see that the loss of black teachers just horribly impacted our student population. Our kids needed the cultural influence of these teachers. And in the late 90s, I started doing a lot of research, and I have a book coming out now about Chicago style union and education organizing. And it's about my experience dealing with the CPS system. So what I'm here today is to talk a little bit about the plight of really reaching out to bring back some of our more African-American teachers to get justice for those veterans that have been dismissed and discarded. So I formed CAUSE. I also had a group, a non-for-profit, Teach for the Future, which then I write grants for our students. And we implemented a program in CBS High School. So doing this grant writing is really hard, but we were able to get over $1 million to impact our students at CPS, which is one of our asks. We need the kind of programs, it's through the TRIO, but any after-school program that reaches out to our student. We traveled all over the country with these students. They had, were able to bring, have such a wonderful experience with them. We want, as elected school board, to begin to the idea that we need more after-school programming for our children. We need more programs and supports for our teachers, and we need equity for them as well, our black student and teacher population. As you very, very well know, in the late 1990s, there were over 18,000 black educators. We're down to 4. And that has had a real impact on the violence we see. I call them the daily violence interrupters, because I know that's what I was doing. You know, I was interrupting violence on an 8-hour day, a 9-hour day. And that's through love and support in the programs that we have. I want other children to experience some of the good things that my children experience. So as even though my kids are grown, finished college, and gone on, I want to see that happen. Now I'm the grandmother, so they're starting me all over again. But I want to see that happen in equity for our kids, every one of our kids, but especially those that look like us. I support the Black Community Collaborative and the MAP, and we do need help with that. I also support the initiatives of Dave because Natasha Dunn invited me in, and we had Zoom meetings, and we learned about the districting, the redistricting, but we need additional help with getting this together for the mapping so that it represents our community and that we can deal with some of the issues that really concern us. Number one, the violence. Our children are mirrors of us, you know, and we know that as parents. When we've done something great, you know, we can smile and say, you know, well, this we did this great job and we're looking at this beautiful product. Our products are not coming out in a beautiful way, and that is because many of us have not done what we're supposed to do, and we have not addressed the children in the way that they need to be addressed, and blaming them is not the answer. We need to pull our hands up, and we hope that the school board, as we have this elected school board, we will have people on there, not just from CTU, because right now that's a concern, but we're going to have members from our community that really are part of the community, have the heartbeat of the community, have the love for the children. And I know I said a lot, but I just wanted to come here today and make that point to really consider the impact on the African-American community of our whole education. I got a quality education at the Catholic school. I'm hoping that, and it didn't matter whether I was poor, rich, or whatever. And we just want that same thing for every child, and specifically for those who look like us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Next up, Diane Hodges. Thank you.
I'm Diane Hodges, and I am community activist and team leader for the South Merrill Community Garden. It's located a half a block from O'Keefe School. This area has been plagued with drug activity, and it has been a drug portal for almost 30 years. In 2016, we took over a garden that was plagued with guns and drug stashing, and we made it into a place that's safe and beautiful. So we spend our time creating beauty out of chaos. But I'm concerned about the mapping because I want to make sure that we're represented and that we can continue to heal our children. I study epigenetics. I understand that we can't help everybody, that the programs that are set are instilled from 1 to 6 years old. But in our garden, we've seen children come in our garden in the 4th and 5th grade, and by the 8th grade, they're in a gang because the school has been a feeder. So when you look at our block, it has gone from trash to flowers. We are constantly doing programming in the summer, and we just want to make sure that CPS is no longer autonomous in our community. We must be engaged. And I'm not talking about being on a local school council. I'm talking about I'm that stakeholder, that I'm watching these children as they leave out of school and begin to terrorize the community. We must begin to figure out a way to heal them and to transfer some of that anger into something productive. Last week, I was over in another part of town, and I saw a beautiful Latino school, Explora Academy. I saw a beautiful magnet school, and I saw an accelerator school. I want to see those type of things in our community, but our problems are different. We have a playground that they keep locked up that's supposed to be open because our children don't have conflict resolution savvy, so we need security for these children. This particular school, I had to get all of the landscaping pulled out because it was overgrown. It was dark at night, and the children were going over there learning how to steal cars and having sex. I've talked to Janine Chow, and I got lights put up. That's community activity in your school. I want to continue that community activity. I want to make sure that people are representing us so that we can continue to flow in harmony, beautification, and begin to heal these children. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hodges, and thank you for the amazing work you've done at South Shore. Anyone else wishing to speak today? Okay, before I close, I'm just going to turn the mic over again to my colleagues to wrap up today.
I really appreciate everyone coming out, especially to your point on short notice. Thank you again, Dr. Calloway, for opening the school to us and helping us to get people here so we can get their perspective. It's particularly important to me that a significant amount of people from this district have weighed in and kind of gave us some marching orders, even outside of the actual drawing of the maps, as far as compensation for board members as well. So just thank you all for coming out on Saturday, and certainly appreciate it.
Again, I just want to say thank you to everyone coming out. It's important for us to be able to hear input on how these maps should look, but also about the procedures, right? Making sure that members are compensated. I also just want to give a huge shout out to the principal for opening the doors. I'm always a big fan when principals are willing to be here on a Saturday. It just speaks a lot to your commitment to your students and to our community. So thank you again.
Everybody had some really great comments. The compensation, I think, is going to be a huge part of this. There are districts in the suburbs that they can't get folks to run for these board positions because it's a thankless job. It's raised a few questions that I'm going to have that I'm going to ask back from our staff is how does the funding mechanism work? Because in districts outside of Chicago, the school districts have the ability to levy the tax and to raise the necessary money, and then that makes them somewhat more accountable to the folks in their communities. Is this going to be a X amount of dollars that's provided by the city to the school boards collectively, and then that gets divided up equally, or is it going to be on a needs basis? And those are all questions, and please, everybody, just have patience, because this is going to be a huge learning process that is going to take a lot of effort to figure all that out and to make sure the needs of each of the communities are met. And again, it's how that money flows to these individual districts is going to be important for the operation and to make sure that you have the necessary funds to do the necessary things to provide that quality education for the children. So thank you.
And of course, just echoing what my colleagues have said, so appreciate you, Principal, and all the people that came out today and shared their insights. This is a process. We have at least three more hearings. I'm not sure at what time the map will be released, the first version, but we want to get more input for that. But I did hear what you're saying, and I know that we need time for feedback as well. The Senate has had, I think, six hearings, a mix of virtual and in-person. We have three more scheduled. The next is Monday at 6 p.m. at Lane Tech High School off Western Avenue on the north side. So with that, I wanted to, before we leave, remind you that we do have other members on the working group that will be briefed on today's hearing as well. And that includes, in case they're your representatives, Representative Cam Buckner, Lakeisha Collins, Evadina Delgado, Will Gazzardi, Mike Kelly, Teresa Ma as well. And we've all kind of mixed and matched what hearings we can attend. So please, again, send any comments to us at redistrictingcommittee@hdsilga.gov. We look forward to continuing to work with you, and I'll turn it back over to Leader Rita to wrap up the official part of the hearing.
Thank you. I guess I know Representative Williams had asked, is there anyone else before we close out? Again, thank you for coming and participating, giving your feedback. Again, this is a task that the next task the House will do is to draw the boundaries, and how the boundaries will look to implement the elected school board. So with no further business and no further business before us, the House Executive Committee will stand at recess to the call of the chair. Thank you.